Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, this is the bad boy, Joey Janela, and you're listening to the Going In Raw podcast. Joey Janela always goes in.
This is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and you are listening to Going In Raw.
Hey everyone, Kenny Omega here. In case you didn't know, we have an awesome kick butt show called Stephen Larson's Going In Raw, and they're going to be supporting AEW every week amongst many other things. Goodbye and smooch, good night, bye-bye.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry, whoa. Peacemaker here.
Oh, and bum-ass Larson.
I have not even actually seen the Suicide Squad, but I want to see it, and I'm looking forward to the Peacemaker show, and I'm going to try to do a different John Cena gimmick every year now.
All right.
I don't know how long that'll last. Anyway,
Broke Corbin was my costume. I even have a can of spaghetti.
Well, the best thing about it is the top of your head. When you show me the top of your head,
I shave my hair in the middle here closer because right. His hairline is slightly more receding than my own. So I tried to get that detail. I got the stains on the shirt here. Some ketchup, mustard.
It's great. It's awesome. Bum-ass Corbin. It's great. Now that I've done the intro, and I'm going to do this for the SmackDown intro as well.
Take it off. You wore it the whole time for Rampage.
I wore it the whole time for Rampage.
It's too much.
Now I know what's his face? Tempest feels like during those Quizzlemanias.
Yeah.
I don't know if his cuts into his face the way in my, look at that.
Yeah, I see that. Look at that.
Marks right there.
You do.
Anyways, it's a nice shirt though. I like this shirt. I might wear this around.
You should wear it out in public.
You can go to Winco like this.
There you go. Hey, Peacemaker.
Hey, Peacemaker. Hey, what are you doing? We have the SmackDown review going up. Separate from this, we're going to talk about AEW Rampage in this episode. But first, we got a little bit of news and a possible career path that you had predicted for Bray Wyatt. Wyndham Rotunda might actually come into fruition. What's going on with
that? Actually, I was going to save this news for the SmackDown episode, but we can talk about it now.
Never mind. I got up your wrong notes. Larson, what are you going to talk about?
Oh, we're going to talk about Ring of Honor fallout from the Ring of Honor hiatus releasing talent. So in a write-up about all that, that's going on with Ring of Honor, the hiatus releasing talents, so on. Sports Illustrated's Justin Barrasso reported that Ring of Honor is apparently shopping the Ring of Honor tape library. That's what Barrasso had to say. Quote, the Ring of Honor tape library is also available and will go to the highest bidder. ROH has been privately trying to move the library, the Sinclair-owned archive from 2012 on, for more than a year. That includes the All-In pay-per-view in September 2018, which was the precursor to AEW. While AEW owns the trademark, it is Ring of Honor that owns the footage. SI learned that the company is asking for much more than the current market dictates. And while it once seemed like WWE would be a major factor in pursuit of that tape library, it makes slightly less sense now considering that so many former ROH stars have exited WWE. So it's interesting that it's the archive 2012 onward. Now that includes, obviously, all the time the Elite spent there, Cody. But it doesn't include Brian Danielson,
Punk,
Samoa Joe, and so on. So that's interesting. Now, when I the first thought I had reading this was, does someone else own the pre-Sinclair Ring of Honor tape library?
Your guess is as good as mine. I'm sure there are many people out there who probably know that answer, not I. I mean, you would think. Now, number one, I wonder what much more than the current market dictates means. I mean, you know, obviously when WWE was snapping up all the tape libraries that they could find, the market was probably pretty healthy at that point because they were actively doing that. They had a lot of money. They could do that. These days, not. So. My point is, I wonder if WWE is like the driving force in dictating the market price for these things.
Could be.
I mean, yeah, it's like WWE and AEW basically have the lion's share of all that Ring of Honor talent.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as All In, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know if Tony Khan would care about that. I mean, maybe just to have it for historical value. But I mean, that was the show that he went to, I think, to talk to them about, hey, we could do a whole thing. But like, it wasn't his thing. It was like the EVP's thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on top of that, there's numerous matches. We've joked about this, but there are numerous matches on there that I don't know if they would really want to air. Like, let's say they got a streaming service, or let's say because of the Warner connection, HBO Max mm-hmm. ended up being similar to how Peacock is for the WWE Network, home for AEW streaming content. Would they cut out the Joey Ryan stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would that extend to Tessa's involvement in that match with Britt, Chelsea, and Jordan?
Yeah, I don't know. And then the Okada and Skrull match.
There's that as well. I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. I mean, dude, it's funny because I know Ring of Honor said they wanted to come back in April.
Yeah.
The way everybody was talking about it, it sounded like the death of a company. Because it seems clear that they're going to be changing things going forward with all these contracts they're releasing and terminating and whatnot. I think it's probably easy to speculate that if they do come back, it'll be on a per appearance type situation.
Yeah, that seems to be the indication that rather than having contracted wrestlers, you know, for the promotion, it'll be, you know, a per appearance basis.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it would, like you said, you know, so many of those guys that were in WWE, like the NXT 1.0 crew that, you know, you could have had all that tape on. Yeah.
I mean, 2012 onwards, you get Steen, you get Generico, you get Adam Cole, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Young Bucks, Kenny, Cody, his brief time there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, you would think that AEW, if anybody would want it, it'd be them.
You would think so.
I just wonder, you know, if you can have the price be whatever you want it to be. If the market ain't there for it, if nobody's biting, that price is going to be driven down.
You would think so.
And if WWE's not out there trying to snatch it, and AEW's like, yeah, I'll take it, but at a bargain, because mm-hmm. we don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going to happen? That'll be interesting to see what happens with Ring of Honor, all the great, great talent that's there. Hopefully they all find good homes, different places.
Hope so.
AEW Rampage went down tonight with another match that just, it's solidifying Bryan Danielson's case for wrestler of the year.
Yeah.
At this point.
Without a doubt. I mean, there's three matches and they're all fun. They're all good.
Yeah.
You know, they set up potentially, I didn't mean to derail the conversation because we'll speak highly of Bryan Danielson here in a second. They're potentially setting up CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. Who doesn't want to see that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun show. I mean, it's a breezy 1 hour. It's a bummer that it's such a bad time slot, so more people don't watch it, at least live. I don't know what the DVR numbers are. But this is probably one of the better episodes of Rampage, top to bottom.
Just because it had so much good wrestling.
Exactly.
You know? I understand, dude. It's not, they don't, They don't move story necessarily. There's no heavy story beats on Rampage, largely because of the audience, I would imagine. It wasn't live, so they're not going to do that stuff. Any heavy story beats are going to be on live episodes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that being said, if you want, you know, it is still more on par with what's going on in Dynamite than what's happening on Dark and Elevation. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, besides the Danielson Eddie Kingston match, the setup for Kingston versus Punk, I mean, it's funny because I do see plenty of criticism about how Punk is being utilized. You and I are both really into it. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic that he's like, you know, doing the, hey, I'm old and I'm trying to get back into the swing of things here. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Kingston versus him. I mean, my only hope they don't just relegate their feud to a couple of quick video package promos. They let them get in the ring.
Oh, I know.
Face to face.
I know.
And just say what they're going to say.
I know. that'll help get Punk out of the we're still in a little bit of the happy to be here phase for Phil. And you know, step in the ring opposite Eddie, not necessarily to wrestle at first, but just to spar verbally, that could be great. You know, that could be great.
Yeah. I don't necessarily see, you know, it would, the way they booked Eddie Kingston, I don't know that Eddie Kingston is booked stronger than on par with Darby Allin, who Punk beat. He's booked stronger, certainly, than Matt Sydal. Mm-hmm. Who's another guy? Hobbs. He's booked stronger than Hobbs.
Yeah. Bob Fish.
Yeah. So this will be an outstanding match, and I fully expect Punk to go over, but it's going to be a battle. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an absolute battle. So yeah, I thought that was really good. The main event was tons of fun.
It was
a, what was it? A trick or treat? What was it?
It's a street fight. Yeah. Halloween street fight.
Yeah. Street fight.
Trick or street fight. Maybe they called it the same thing that SmackDown did. I don't recall.
I don't remember. I know there was I don't know. Anyways, it was Britt Baker versus Abaddon. Mm-hmm. Really fun stuff.
Tons of fun.
Doing the whole, you know, horror. I really wish Abaddon would make it on cable TV a bit more.
Same.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
But since I derailed the praise we were about to bestow upon one Bryan Danielson, let's get back to that.
Man, just a killer, killer match with him and Eddie Kingston. I mean, this is something that everybody's looking forward to. One of our good friendos here in chat, Rozzy, was talking earlier during our GTA stream saying, man, I can't wait for you guys to see Rampage, and I won't say anything else. I was like, what are you talking about? And it was this match. Mm-hmm. This match was absolutely fantastic. I mean, Bryan Danielson was just beat to hell.
Yeah, he had hamburger
chest. That chest of his was a mess. And, man, I mean, somebody mentioned in chat, makes all the sense in the world. Bryan Danielson for Wrestler of the Year. We're only 2 months away from making that decision.
I think that about 2 months, I guess. You're right. My math was off. 2 months is right. I know. And he's got a lot of stiff competition, even within his own company. Oh, yeah, sure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And since he debuted in AEW early September, every match is an event for people who pro wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
And it's must see at this juncture. And
absolutely, yeah.
It's going to be interesting, assuming, I guess he's in the finals now. His match against Mox in the finals is going to be something else, because he's going to be facing off with a new super violent Mox. Perhaps maybe a Mox in the midst of a bit of a heel turn, maybe. And, you know, as we've been kind of debating back and forth Danielson's chances of winning said tournament and facing probably Hangman Page for the title, or they can go super violent Mox, maybe kind of heel Mox, to be the first opponent for Page after beating Omega. I mean, if this match against Kingston is anything what we could expect against Mox, I feel bad for Bryan Danielson's chest. That's going to be like PCO levels of bruised up, like when he has a match against Walter, man.
It is going to be interesting if they try to tell what the difference is going to be. Mox's matches have been incredibly quick. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the same for Orange Cassidy, although I don't think it's going to go 15 minutes. I do think that's going to be a bit different. Danielson versus Mox, it'll be interesting how violent that match gets. This was an incredibly physical, incredibly violent match. Yes. I fully expect us to see. I'm trying to think of the last time we saw Bryan Danielson bleed. Has he bled in AEW?
No.
I don't know. He hasn't.
No.
And I don't remember the last time he bled in WWE. But that's going to happen in that Mox. I mean, that's what they're setting up. Everybody bleeds in the Mox matches these days. Yeah, he opens up everybody. That's going to be probably Mox's best match maybe we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Because that's just what Bryan Danielson brings these days.
Yep. Well, let's dive right into it. Show kicked off with Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston. Danielson was working Eddie's arm early. They trade some headbutts. Bryan tries to go back to the arm. Instead, Eddie hits a dropkick. Neckbreaker gets him a two. And throughout the match, Eddie is just chopping the hell out of Danielson's chest. It is literal hamburger by the time the match closes. It's just bruised, and there's lacerations on it from all the chops. Bryan low bridges Eddie out of the ring, follows with a sliding drop kick. He's looking for a running knee off the apron. Instead, Eddie punches him on the way down, hits with a Saito suplex on the floor. Bryan barely beats the 10 count, and Eddie starts working over Danielson's neck. At one point he's looking for a superplex. Danielson turns that into a super belly to belly for himself. Eddie goes for a half and half. Bryan escapes that. Hits a head kick, some yes kicks. He goes for the D plus, and as he's doing that, Eddie just collapses. So Danielson gets on top of Eddie with some ground and pound, locks on to Fujiwara arm bar. Eddie powers up, hits Danielson with a DDT. He goes for an enziguri. Danielson must have been watching Arn Anderson block Black Masses. He threw that forearm up, blocked the kick, hits a forearm. Eddie responds with a back fist. And Eddie's going over to cover. And then Danielson locks on a triangle. Mm-hmm. And Eddie tries to power him up. He can't. And then Danielson starts hitting elbows on him. Mm-hmm. And he pauses for a bit, and Eddie throws up the middle finger. Danielson just cranks on that triangle with some more forearms, and Eddie just passes out.
Yeah, man.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That back fist was gnarly.
It was vicious.
It was vicious, and he just collapsed. Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was great stuff. So we go to commercial. We come back, and afterwards they show that during the commercial break, Danielson offered his hand to Eddie. Eddie didn't shake it. He walked out of the ring.
Yeah.
And his foul mood would continue as he went backstage and interrupted CM Punk trying to do an interview.
Yeah. He's talking about just some sort of pithy stuff. He says, Halloween's my favorite holiday. And then you just hear in the background Eddie chirping. And I love this because it moves from one scene to another, and it's fluid. And so he comes in and he's all complaining about losing. He walks up to Punk. He's like, "What do you think is so funny?" Because it's like, you know, Eddie's walking around. He's got his singlet like pulled down and he's just in a rage. And you know, obviously it's going to be kind of funny. So they start John. Eddie's escorted out. Punk asks him, "Oh, you want to go to sleep again? You want to go to sleep again? I just saw what happened. I'm disappointed in you, Eddie. Be professional."
Oh, it was so good. So good. Yeah,
and he looked like he wanted to laugh the whole time.
He did look like he wanted to laugh the whole time.
That is going to be a physical match. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give off crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
After that, we had Matt Sydal versus Dante Martin, their third bout. This match, again, a lot of fun. Matt Sydal doing what he could to try to ground the high flyer, Dante Martin. In the end, though, it was enough. Dante, down the stretch, hits one of those massive sunset flips he does. Those things are amazing. Hits a head scissors and basically jumps up and stomps Sydal while Sydal is standing upright on his collarbones. So he leapt, you know, a good 4.5 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So that gets him another two. Sydal goes up top. Dante shoves him off. And the Sydal ends up hitting a Rana on Dante, get him off the top rope. That gets him a two. Sydal goes for a lightning spiral. Dante escapes that. He kind of trips up Sydal, hits a double springboard moonsault to get the win.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun match.
After that, so this is generally my favorite part of Rampage, the Mark Henry interview. And, of course, this week it was special because on one side of the screen, it's always a split screen, you have Abaddon. And then on the other, of course, Britt Baker and her crew. And so Henry asks Abaddon a question about the match, and she just goes, and spits up blood.
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
He says, "Well, I guess Abaddon has no comment. Britt, what do you have to say about that?" And she says, "As a hardcore legend, I'm cool with no DQ matches. Plus, I brought a couple of zombies with me." And this is Rebel and
Jamie Hayter.
They got the makeup on, yeah. And then Abaddon leaves, and she's like, "Wait, where'd she go? Where'd she go?" And then Henry's like, "All right, well, I guess the time for talking's done. Time for the main event."
Yeah, it was pretty great.
It was pretty funny
stuff. It was pretty great. And that was our main event, Britt Baker versus Abaddon. Early on, Abaddon hits the stunner. Britt rolls out of the ring, and then Rebel and Jamie set up a table, or pull a table out from the ring and set it up. Go to commercial, come back. Abaddon's in control. She sets up a chair in the corner, but then Britt sends her into it. Jamie and Rebel pull Abaddon onto the table. Abaddon fights them off. She gets on the apron, brings Britt out there with her. And then Britt hits Abaddon with a swinging neck breaker on top of the table. The table doesn't break, though.
Nope.
This kind of hit it, slide right off. So Britt tries to break the table, suplexes Abaddon onto it, doesn't break.
Just falls out, yeah. And then it's funny because like you could see underneath, and like typically, like, you know, these things are gigged. They're
gimmicked,
yeah. And this did not look like anybody had touched this table at all.
No.
So it was very strong.
Yeah. So they're selling that. Then Abaddon does like the Undertaker sit-up thing where she just pops right up. So she gets up. She goes around the corner and grabs a bag from under the ring, dumps it out in the ring, is filled with thumbtacks. So Britt is looking to hit like an STO on the thumbtacks. Abaddon blocks that. Abaddon's looking for a DDT on the tacks. Britt blocks that. She runs the ropes and runs, Britt does, right into an Uranagi onto the tacks. Abaddon covers, Britt kicks out. Abaddon covers again, Britt kicks out again. So then Jamie Hayter slides a chair into the ring. Britt picks it up, throws it at Abaddon's head, then wraps her neck, or chair around her neck, stomps it, which looked, that looked awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently Abaddon.
Really, yeah, it did. Yeah.
Apparently Abaddon was fine because she popped right back up.
No sold it. Yeah, completely. It was
while
great.
While Britt's getting the glove. And so Britt hits her with a super kick, puts a bunch of tacks in her mouth, hits another super kick, and then she's looking for the lockjaw, and she's about to put her hand in Abaddon's mouth and then thinks twice about it.
Abaddon's like,
yeah. And then Abaddon
trying to bite it, and she grabs the hand and bites it anyways.
Was great. It was so good.
Yeah, it was rad.
So then Rebel and Jamie get on the apron to distract Abaddon, and then Britt ends up rolling up Abaddon on the thumbtacks to get the win. Fun bout.
And just runs out of there. Just gets the hell out of there.
It was a fun bout. It's a bummer that Abaddon's not on Dynamite or Rampage more often.
I know. I wonder. I mean, I don't know. We're not there. We don't know what. Maybe they just feel like the gimmick only goes so far. She needs to freshen up the wrestling skills. I don't know. I honestly don't. I'm just throwing that out there as one idea. We're not there backstage. We're not a camera crew on Roads to the Top, so we don't know what's going on backstage. Michael Sodope says it's because she's weird. Yeah, it's not a gimmick. Oh, man. If anybody in the Twitch chat has any questions about tonight's Rampage or the Ring of Honor news we talked about earlier, be sure to load us up before we sign off here. David Matuszek here on the Patreon, which, by the way, it is the 29th. You have two days. Get your... Patreon, if you want the Friendo Care Package, which has the Going In Raw comic book, full color story featuring Steven Larson and a tale that could only be told in the pages of a comic book because it'd be too expensive.
$4 billion
the movie.
Easily.
It's our 8x10. We'll sign it for you and give it to you for $20 in the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We also have bonus content there. And it's ad-free in the audio realm if you hit us up on patreon.com/Steven Larson. $5 a month will get you our bonus shows and our regular show. You can import the RSS feed to whatever podcast app you use. Mm-hmm. And it's all ad-free. None of the commercials that we run here on the show. If you want the show ad-free, a little bit cheaper with no bonus content, you can get that as well. The full show. No bonus content, $3 a month, goinginraw.supercast.tech. Mm-hmm. That's how you can get the show ad-free. A couple questions here. First up, Maggie says, how many doves does Peacemaker rate each match, and how many spaghetti cans does Corbin rate the matches tonight? Well, I got to put my Peacemaker helmet on one.
While you do that, first of all, anybody out there lend me a hand, just $20. Anything, please, so I can stop eating spaghetti out of the can. Speaking of cans, Danielson versus Eddie. I give 4.5 cans of spaghetti. I thought it was really great. Now that I give the match a high score, can you give me $20, please?
Corbin, no. Nobody's giving you anything, Corbin. I give Brian Danielson versus Eddie Kingston exactly 4.75 doves. Matt Sydal versus Dante Martin, high flying action, 3.75 stars. Abaddon versus Britt Baker, fun horror gimmick, 3.5 stars.
Yeah. Good job. Miku, if you could choose a current AEW wrestler to annihilate Cody Island, who would you choose? I feel like that wrestler is stuck on Cody Island currently, and that is Malakai Black.
Yeah, he can't seem to get off. And I like Andrade, he just went over there.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm going to take a yacht over to Cody Island and hang out there and tear it all over the place. David Matuszek here on Patreon says, what would Mox's first act as a heel in AEW be if they pull the trigger? So I actually don't think that Mox is actually a heel. I feel like he's more akin to, you know, they call Suzuki Murder Grandpa. Mm-hmm. He's just Murder Dad. Mm-hmm. I think that he is, because it's not like he cheats. He just comes in and he brutalizes people. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not really a heel. Like, it's a heel more if you're just outwardly dastardly, you know?
Yeah.
But if in the ring, you keep it clean, even if you're brutalizing people, you're just a really vicious guy. Not really a heel or a face.
Yeah, he'll have to do something pretty nasty to somebody to solidify himself as heel if that's the direction they go.
Right.
Flats, Miro seems to be on ice till after Full Gear. Who's his first feud back? He gets that title back from Sammy.
You know, Miro, I feel... I kind of think that... Was the title change had to have been a necessity? That had to have been a necessity. I just don't understand why. I mean, it's not like Sammy's not doing anything with it, really. Like, there's no reason for him to have it. Mm-mm. Miro's entire reason for being was that title because mm-hmm. it was basically the gift from God. Mm-hmm. It was validation from God mm-hmm. that he is the man. He's the chosen one.
He's the best. Yeah.
It would make sense for him to get it back. Absolutely would make sense for him to get it back.
Totally.
But if they give him a little bit of a road before that, I would love to see Malakai versus Miro. I think that'd be good.
That'd be good.
And I'll be honest with you, a short successful stint on Cody Island.
Cody Island. He would be, Miro would be a good individual to destroy Cody Island.
He would need to win everything he did there
in dominating fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No overbooked matches. It's just destruction. White Brownie with Brian Danielson already having three bangers. Which top WWE wrestler would you like to see in AEW and have a similar run? Seth freaking Rollins.
Tyler freaking Black.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That's the answer. I think that there is so much. He is probably one of their not probably. He is one of their best wrestlers. I would love to see what he could do sort of outside the WWE mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be
agreed. Great. Agreed. Rozzy, with Eddie versus Brian being as good as it was, where do you see Brian versus Mox going? More violent, more vicious.
I guess it'd have to be more violent, more vicious. It'd have to be that. Mm-hmm. Tanner asks, who's going to give Punk his first loss? MJF is my guess on that.
Yeah,
one.
That seems like a good guess. That seems like a good guess. Dr. Lipkins, Orange Cassidy has had a lot of success on AEW after blowing up online. Danhausen is also super over online. How do you think AEW would use Danhausen? Well, I would think they like with Orange Cassidy, they saw what worked for him in the Independents, focused on that. As time went on, they add a bit more dimension to the character. And I think it's done wonders for him.
Put him in Best Friends. Just put him with those guys. Just do that. Although he's got a good thing going in before Ring of Honor stopped being Ring of Honor. The PCO stuff that I saw was pretty damn funny. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe just let him do his own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
the leader of the Dark Order would be good.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
The new Exalted
one. That would be interesting.
I could. I don't know if I could see it, but I'd love to see it.
Dark Dink Lucha, Steve Larson. What's your ideal scenario regarding the fate of Ring of Honor? You don't have to mention wrestlers to a place, mm-hmm. but instead you want to have them absorbed into another company, regress to a smaller level in their next phase, etc. I kind of want Impact to make a serious move for all of it. I don't want to see Ring of Honor go out of business simply because then it's one less place for wrestlers to go and work and earn money professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Also, Ring of Honor's got that their legacy as a company is pretty rich, mm-hmm. pretty vast. And mm-hmm. while what they've done in the past will never go away, it would still be a bummer to see that brand either go out of business or be folded into some other promotion. So, I mean, ideally, you'd like to see it reconstituted in some form. It seems going to be much like it's going to be smaller. You know, if they're not going to pay contracted wrestlers, you know, but if it could be on, you know, there's several mid-sized independent promotions who do shows on like YouTube or stream on Fight TV. And if they could survive on that level and try to redevelop and bring in new talent and bring prominence to that brand again, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they could somehow find a way. The thing about Ring of Honor is that they just, for all the talent they had, they can never capture that buzz. Mm-hmm. Like GCW came in, mm-hmm. and man, they have really, really just captured the zeitgeist when it comes to independent wrestling.
Yep.
And in a way that Ring of Honor just had a really hard time doing. I think a lot of it did have to do with presentation. I mean, the DIY aesthetic of GCW, I think, is a very appealing thing. You know, everybody wants to be a part of something that just seems organic and ground level.
Yeah.
And Ring of Honor, just it was not that. But if they can figure out a way to operate on a GCW business level, they're gonna have to figure out a way to capture some buzz, though, you know, and maybe a fresh start, a relaunch, is enough to get people curious and at least check it out, to try to support. And with that first show back, whatever it is, has to be a doozy. It's got to be a really good one to get people coming back. And you can't have, I mean, that was my main issue with Ring of Honor, is just the presentation was so corny. There was nothing compelling about it. And sometimes what you wrap it in really does matter. It's like the energy and excitement of GCW, even when they're running one of their shows and it's entirely backlit by like outside
by the sun,
the outdoors venue by the sun. And it's got that like sense of urgency to it. The Ring of Honor just lacked. If they can capture, I'm not saying rip off GCW and all of a sudden your font is all like, you know, grungy or whatever, but certainly bring some sense of urgency to what you're doing. And maybe, I mean, they've talked about reimagining the product and that's what they need to do. I mean, I think that's why they blew up in 2002, 2003, 2004. Is because it had, like, when you go back and look at that old stuff, it has that feel to it. You know, it's not quite ECW or CZW, but it's got that like low res feel to it. You know?
It definitely did. Fluffy Canuck, kind of similar to White Brownie's question, who in WWE actively watches AEW? I'd be surprised if a lot of WWE wrestlers didn't watch AEW.
I don't know what their watching habits are.
Well, I don't know either.
I don't know. I mean, they all just like prefer playing. It's like, got enough wrestling. Maybe I don't need this stuff.
That could be. It's entirely possible.
I don't. I mean, I don't really watch a whole lot of wrestling YouTube content. Like, you know, like friends of ours. You know, but I don't know. Maybe they do.
Maybe.
Miku. If they're, I would suggest people who are disgruntled with WWE, they're probably definitely watching AEW.
They're doing some advanced scouting on perspective.
Yeah, but like, okay, White Brownie brings up Corbin. Corbin ain't watching AEW. I don't think he's watching AEW. That dude, he has got to be thrilled with his role in WWE. With his role there.
Yeah.
So why would he watch?
He just likes wrestling. I don't know. If he likes wrestling, he'll just watch wrestling.
Dark Dank Lucha says, I will say one of my favorite wrestling shows was the one and only Ring of Honor show I went to in April 2017 or 18 in Columbus called Masters of the Craft. I got to see the NWA title defended. Flip Gordon literally flipped from the ring into the second level of fans. I think I remember that. And it was so lit and engaging. Plus, I shared a beer with Silas Young and almost watched Matt Taven and Vinny almost smack up a fan. All right. Sounds like a good time. Yeah. Mysterious. 619 says, I feel like people say All In AEW was the downfall of Ring of Honor. But in my opinion, NXT 1.0 could be mentioned too. Basically became what old school Ring of Honor was and felt like a completely different product than main roster because Triple H was in control instead of Vince. That's a really good point.
It is a good point.
That's a very good point. Yeah. But I mean, given that up until AEW, Ring of Honor essentially had the bigger stars that went to AEW, I think that's why I feel like it was AEW that put them in the ground.
Yeah. You could probably point to several things. Probably to several things. Bear Winning, remember Ring of Honor was used as the venue for the final showdown of Randy the Ram Robinson and the Ayatollah. That's historic right there.
Is a historic match. Yeah, we potentially saw a man die in the ring there. Anyways, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Our SmackDown review should be up shortly.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.